Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. For the past couple of days, we have been talking about the Mountain Meadows Massacre, really America's first 9/11 since last Sunday. We did commemorate the 10th anniversary of our second 9/11 event in America's history, which was certainly much different than what took place back in 1857 in southern Utah. Over the past couple of days, I kind of recapped what actually happened regarding the Mountain Meadows Massacre, but today I would like to talk about the response by the Mormon Church regarding the massacre that took place, a response that took place on the 150th anniversary of this tragic event. They had a lot of people showed up down at the actual site where the massacre took place, and I was able to be there. I attended this memorial service that was supposed to commemorate the 150th anniversary. They had a number of family members from the Fancher party, Alexander Fancher being the captain of the party, and some other relatives that were there. A number of people gave speeches and such. And I was listening to this, and there was also at the time Henry B. Eyring, who at the time was a Mormon apostle. He's now a member of the Mormon First Presidency, but Henry B. Eyring also gave a speech. What I thought was interesting is that during the course of some of these speeches, that there were actually some standing ovations and some loud applause over some of the things that were actually said. And there was a lot of talk about forgiveness and stuff like that. But one thing I didn't notice was a lot of applause during Henry Eyring's speech. It was pretty quiet. Now, it could be said that Mormons don't normally applaud during a general authority's talk, and that's true. But there were a lot of non-Mormons there, and so I have to assume that if Henry Eyring had said something that deserved some kind of, you know, approval, outburst through applause, that it would have taken place, but it didn't. But here's what was interesting. When I got back, and there was an online edition of the Deseret News that read with this headline, "Church Issues Apology for Massacre." It was an article that was written by Carrie A. Moore of the Deseret News. And there was another article in the Salt Lake Tribune by another journalist by the name of Jessica Ravitz, who had the headline, "LDS Church Apologizes for Mountain Meadows Massacre." Moore wrote that Mormon apostle Henry B. Eyring, in his speech, had actually issued a long-awaited apology for the massacre of an immigrant wagon train by local church members 150 years ago in southwestern Utah. Not only that, Ravitz echoed a similar conclusion when she wrote that a Mormon apostle apologized for the church's role. Now, I was there. I was like 10 rows away from Henry Eyring, and I never heard any such apology, so I was actually quite, you know, miffed at this. What did I miss? And so to hear this was quite surprising to me. Now, I did hear Mr. Eyring express profound regret. He expressed profound regret for what he called the undue and untold suffering experienced by the victims and their relatives. I heard Mr. Eyring offer what he called a separate expression of regret to the Paiute people, the Paiute Indians, who have unjustly borne for too long the principal blame for what occurred during the massacre, he said. And you have to understand, if you don't know the history, that after this massacre took place, the local Indian tribe was actually blamed for this. The Mormons were blaming the Indians for wiping out this wagon train when they, in fact, were very much responsible for the deaths of over 120 men, women, and children. Eyring also went on to say that the responsibility for the massacre lies with local leaders, and that has been the position of the Mormon Church, that it could not have possibly have been Brigham Young who ordered the massacre, but it was instead leaders that were down in the southern part of Utah, primarily with a man called Isaac Haight, who was a stake president in Parowan, along with John D. Lee, who was the only person that was ever executed for this crime. John D. Lee eventually would be found guilty 20 years after the fact. He would be found guilty. His own people would, like, turn against him and start, as John D. Lee said, accuse him of things he never did and never said. And so John D. Lee was basically made the scapegoat for this horrible atrocity. Now, mind you, there were over 50 men, 50 faithful Mormon men that were involved in this tragedy, and only John D. Lee is the one who was executed for the crime. That alone sounds a little bit strange. And but anyway, I'm sure that a lot of people who are Latter-day Saints who read those headlines were probably happy to read them. If they weren't there, they were probably very happy that finally the Mormon Church had actually stepped up to the plate and accepted some responsibility for this. But they were unfortunately disappointed to find out that later on there was an Associated Press article that started circulating in several major media outlets that stated quite clearly that, and I'm quoting, quote, church leaders were adamant that the statement should not be construed as an apology. According to church spokesman Mark Tuttle, he said, we don't use the word apology. We used profound regret.
Bill, why do you think they can't just simply apologize? In 2007, you've got the audience, you've got everybody there, all the players who were trying to reconnect the different groups there. It would have been very simple to have said, you know what, we blew it. What's the difference between an apology and this regret that he's talking about?
Well, I think a lot of people that were there readily recognized that Eyring was not going to pin anything on the Mormon Church. He might use some of these local leaders as a scapegoat and kind of wash his hands of those. Why did he do that? That's a good question. It seems like the Mormon Church often misses a lot of good opportunities to do what is right. And I think for nothing else, just to have goodwill with the family members who were still stinging from how the Mormon Church has handled this over the past 150 years. You're right. He could have very well just said, you know what? These guys were a part of our church. They shouldn't have done that. We are sorry for their shameful behavior. And just say, you know, we offer our utmost apologies for this. But yet they didn't.
Well, see, apology is taking blame. And yes, you're receiving the blame. Regret is you just wish that either you weren't part of it or you wish it wouldn't have happened. But there's a huge difference between those two.
Well, there absolutely is. And I think a lot of people recognize that when the statement came out. Again, I didn't hear anything like that in the speech. The speech is certainly recorded. I recorded it. I recorded it myself when I was there. And you don't hear anything like that. Now, you do hear some remorse from Henry Eyring. I mean, I don't want to give the impression that Mormon leaders are gleefully happy that they've been able to cover up this for 150 years. I'm not saying that at all. But still, you would think that there would have been an expression of goodwill to just come out and just accept the blame, because these were members of the Mormon Church. They got their orders from someone in authority. And as I've mentioned before, I have a very hard time believing that you would have 50 otherwise very religious men, 50 plus religious men, on the words of a mere stake president, go out and mercilessly slaughter over 120 men, women, and children.
Bill, there was a movie that came out probably 5 or 6 years ago. I forget exactly when it came out. It was on this whole issue.
It was around that same time of the 150th anniversary.
What would your opinion be as to how they interpreted the event?
The movie you're talking about is September Dawn, and I did see it when it first came out. I wanted to see how they were going to retell this story. Part of it was kind of cheesy to me. They included this silly little love story that was just ridiculous. But I wish they would have stuck more to the historical aspects. But I thought what they did pretty well. It was very gripping. The scene itself was very gripping. It was very tense. But they certainly did show that Mormons were involved with this. They absolutely did that. Now, whether or not, you know, a Mormon is going to watch that, of course, most Mormons probably never saw it to begin with because it was rated R, and Mormons don't normally go to R-rated movies.
Right.
So a lot of them were merely going by hearsay. They had never seen it themselves. And, of course, there were a lot of Mormons saying that this was just horrible anti-Mormon bigotry. But you know what? A lot of the things that they did show in there was some historical evidence to support it. But what they did was they took a lot of statements from Brigham Young. So a lot of these fiery sermons that Brigham Young was teaching at the time, blood atonement sermons and such, and they conflated them to make it appear that a lot of these sermons were being preached against these immigrants, maybe, that were going through California at the time. And a lot of these sermons were not against the immigrants at all. Right. A lot of these sermons Brigham Young was teaching were towards the Mormon people themselves. So if you didn't know that, it looks like Brigham Young's got this big grudge and he's encouraging people to go out and kill these people, which is not what happened. So that was unfortunate that a lot of these speeches were actually conflated, because definitely they were taken out of context by doing that. But again, it shows Brigham Young fully aware of what's going on down there. And I think he was, because history seems to show that not only was Brigham Young fully aware of some of the things that were going on down there, he certainly knew about it within days after the terrible incident actually took place.
Bill, do you think it's too late for the Mormon Church to apologize?
I don't think it's ever too late for anybody to apologize for any sin that has been committed. But I doubt whether the Mormon Church is going to be pressured enough now that the 150th anniversary is long gone that they ever see any need in order to do that. They pretty much weathered the storm, if you will, and so I really don't see anything like that forthcoming. Again, like I said before, they missed a good opportunity to do what was right, but for some reason they felt it better to protect their own image, and unfortunately, in my opinion, they damaged it once again. And I'm sure with a lot of the family members of the massacre victims, there's probably not going to be a lot of healing because of that. But I can't say for sure. But anyway, that's basically just a recap of what took place at the Mountain Meadows back in 1857.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.